Good morning, and I welcome all of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I do thank you for coming out this morning. Last night, I asked God what he wanted me to talk about at my mother-in-law's this afternoon, what he wanted me to preach to them at my mother-in-law's house, and he said, I want you to preach this, and he started giving me this list of things to read and to talk about. And at my mother-in-law's, usually it's like 20 to 25 minute sermon is what they're willing to listen to me stand up and speak to them, because they've known me all my life and it gets old for them, I guess. Or they'll start to heckle me a little bit and tease me. But anyway, he gave me this list of things to read, and it just kept getting longer. And I was like, when he got to the end of it, I said, Lord, this seems to be a little bit long. I mean, I hope they'll put up with it, but it seems to be a little long for my mother-in-law's. And he said, well, you need to get a hold of Jim and let him know that you're ready for this morning. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'm going to be here this morning. So I did, and sure enough, here I am. So, one, you're all invited to dinner. A very good friend of mine has let me know that he would like all of you to come to dinner. I know that it's Easter Sunday for the world. I like to call it Resurrection Day. Just feels better to me. And so this morning, I would like to bring forth the things that he has placed upon my heart, and hopefully you'll get the same out of it that I did. Have you ever done something in your life and done your very best that you possibly could and tried your hardest, and still people didn't seem to appreciate what you did for them and the effort that you put into it? Have you ever felt like they actually looked down on you and your efforts and didn't think that it was really worth much, and yet you still had to do the job? Have you ever just felt looked down upon by the rest of humanity, that you weren't worthy to be their friend, that you weren't worthy to be their neighbor, or worthy to be in their church at times? Well, this is for you. If you would open your books to your Bible, to the book of Luke. We're going to read about someone who was looked down upon all his life. Someone who did their job to the very best of their ability, above and beyond the call of duty. And he did it in such a way that he was famous for it throughout the land. And yet they still looked down on him morally. So turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and he was wealthy because he did a good job. You know, tax collectors back then are just like now. Nobody likes tax collectors. It's just you know, something that you don't want to have to deal with, and you feel like they're stealing your money from you. Well, it was the same back then for Zacchaeus. But still, he did the very best job that he could. Even though he was despised by everyone in his community, he did the best that he could. And because of that, he was famous. He was the chief publican for the house of Israel, the top tax collector. And yet, they still despised him. They still looked down upon him no matter what he did, and they thought of him as a sinner. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So even before he became a tax collector, before he became an adult and went into his chosen profession as a tax collector, he was always physically looked down on because he was short. Okay, so he had two strikes against him. As far as the world is concerned, he was always looked down on physically by those who stood above him, and he was looked down upon and despised because of his profession. And so here he is, verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So Zacchaeus knew about Jesus. And I mean, Jesus was famous at this point in time. It had been several years since he started his ministry, and he was famous throughout the land. I mean, that's what people were talking about. And when they knew that he was going to be coming through town, you know, the gossiping and the news and everything just got even more fervent. And so here comes Jesus, and Zacchaeus just wanted to see him. This man that everybody was talking about, and all the miracles that he had performed and the amazing things that he had taught in the temple and in the synagogues throughout the land. I mean, everybody knew about Jesus. He was the talk of the day. And Zacchaeus just wanted to see him. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The most famous person in Israel at that time wanted to come to his house and have dinner with him. And called him down out of the tree in front of the whole town that everybody, you know, Zacchaeus? Really? I can't stand him. He's a sinner, a publican. He works for the enemy. He takes our money and he gives it to the Roman Empire, and you're going to go have dinner with him? What? And of course, Zacchaeus, it's just like, wow. You know, no one had ever wanted to do that with him before. This is the biggest thing in his life. You know, sure, he's probably talked to the movers and the shakers, the leaders of Israel, and might have even talked to some of the bigwigs of Rome because of who he was and his work. But this is Jesus Christ. And everything that he'd ever heard about him was fantastic. This is a man to want to come into your house. This is a man that everybody would want to have as a friend. And so in verse 6 it says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Yeah. I mean, the thing that would just brighten your day, that would, you know, make your whole life worthwhile is to have Jesus Christ come up to you and say, Cody, hey, Cody, you over there, come on. I want to go have dinner with you and your family at your house. I mean, how would you feel if Jesus said that to you? Yeah, pretty awesome. And he did it in front of the entire town. And so Zacchaeus, for the first time in his life, was elevated in the eyes of everybody that he knew. And so what did they say about it? Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. I'm a sinner. And that would be the best thing in my life, to have dinner with Jesus. So when they said this, when his neighbors and his people that he's done all this work for and all these things, when they said this to Jesus. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I have given to the poor. Lord, everything that I've ever made in my life as far as a living, I've given half of it to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I'm not a bad person. Really? Don't despise me, please. I know what the law says. I know that we're supposed to give a tenth, but I give half. And it still doesn't seem to make a difference. They still despise me and call me a sinner. Basically, they look at me as if I'm a traitor. But I love you, and I'm so glad you're coming to my house. It's going to make up for everything. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, the house of Zacchaeus, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was going to have dinner with Jesus. And Jesus just told the entire town, this man has received salvation. And this man is a descendant, a son of the friend of God. Because that's who Abraham was, the friend of God. Because he did everything that God ever asked him to do. In faith, believing that no matter what it was all going to turn out right. And Christ just compared Zacchaeus to Abraham, the friend of God. Elevated him right back up. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He's talking to them about Zacchaeus and about themselves. I've put this guy in charge of your taxes. And he's done a good job for you. And how do you treat him? Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. I will bless you. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And he blessed him. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou hast taken up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest that not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. He doesn't need this other guy's money. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. We have been given much by God. We have been given more by God than anyone else that I know of on this planet. The scriptures that we have been blessed with are worth more than anything you can imagine. And God gave them to us, and we have them. We get preached to from them more than anyone else that I know of. What do we do with it? Do we share it? Do we give it to our neighbors? Do we give it to the poor? Do we give it to anybody in the town that we live with? Or do we just keep it to ourselves? Turn to Mark, the 8th chapter. And we're just going to be easy. We're just going to go backwards today. Mark chapter 8. Verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. What has Jesus done for us? Has he called us to feed the people? Have we given them what he gave us? Have we told them about the blessings that we've received from him? Not just here, but everywhere else. Are we listening to what he's telling us to do? Or are we afraid to go do it? Matthew chapter 13. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receive it. Yeah, sounds good. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word in the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But that he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So which one are we? Wicked? Didn't make any difference to us. I'm still going to live my life. Stony? Sounds good. Yeah, sounds real good. I'll see you next Sunday. Maybe. I'll try. Or thorns. Yeah, that's good. Now, what do I get? And what do I get out of it? Is it gonna make my life better? Am I gonna become a wealthy man because I believe in the word? Or he that received into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, that brings forth fruit, that takes what God has given us and he shares it with everybody that he meets. Do we do that? When you see a stranger on the street, you know, you go get gas. Quick Trip, pull in, you get your gas. You go in, you get your drink, you walk out, and you see somebody who's blind in one eye and is limping. What do you do for him? Do you say, hi, how's your day going? Okay. Go get in your car and leave? Or do you turn around and you go back to the man and you say, hi, my name's Sean. Would it be all right if I said a prayer for you? Not expecting anything out of it. Not expecting any great glory or anything from God, but do you share what he's given us? You know, we have seen prayers answered. And I know that each one of you has a testimony of a specific prayer that you asked God, and he answered. Not that you went to a minister or any other one in your family, but specifically you and between you and God, and you asked him a prayer and he answered that prayer. I know that you've had that happen to you. And if you have, are you willing to pray for a stranger that is blind and lame? Are you willing to share your faith with someone that's a complete stranger that might look at you as if you're crazy or might despise you of it or might tell you that he's a believer in Satan himself and get away from me, you Christian? Are you willing to do that? If you are, then you are in verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And I know that you have, because I've known you all my life. And I know that you're willing to pray for anybody at the drop of a hat. And I thank you for it, because that lifts me up in my heart. It just fills me with joy to know that you do those things. I've heard you talk about it. And I just ask that you don't ever stop. Turn to Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And this is for me, and this is for you, and this is for everybody else out there in the world. How we can take this and make our life better. And we can make the life of everyone that we know better by taking this chapter and doing what he said with it. This is God speaking to Isaiah. First verse, he tells him, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Go out and let the people know, don't do that. Don't do those sins. It's going to cause your eternal death if you keep doing that. Don't do that. You know, don't look at them and say, you're going to hell because you're a sinner. Just tell them, don't do that. This is not what God wants us to do. Don't beat them down with it. Try and get them to stop and think of a different way. For yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." United States of America, one nation under God. That's us, right? The Christian nation of the whole earth. The light of the world. United States of America. Yeah, we know who God is, right? Yeah. We don't necessarily agree with everything he wants us to do, but we're good. Well, there's a lot of those things that they don't really apply to us anymore. And the ordinances, some of them, not all of them. I mean, we're smarter than anybody else. We're as wise as God, and we know that this really doesn't matter, right? The ordinances, the things he said to do and not do, that's, yeah. So here we are, and that's us in verse 2. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." Is that what we do when we fast? Is that what's on our minds when we're getting ready for conference and for reunion? We're gonna come and we're gonna make things right. We're gonna do it our way. We'll show the people that how wise we are, and God's going to give us all the answers that we need, and we'll be able to make things right because we're fasting. I'm not eating anything for 2 whole days before conference. Listen to the radio. I mean, I'm still not eating. I'm listening to the radio, and I read a really good book those 2 days because couldn't eat, so had nothing else to do at dinner time, so I read a good book, and it was exciting, you know. But I fasted, and I'll show everybody at church that I fasted, and God has given me the answers. "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" You think that's what God wants? Starve yourself for a couple of days and yet do everything else that brings you pleasure? And plan the meal that you're going to eat when you're done fasting? Going to have pizza? Going to have hot fudge sundaes, going to watch a movie after I'm done fasting. You know, you're... No, that's not acceptable. It's still, you're still doing it for show. Even if you don't tell anybody that you fasted, you're still, the attitude is wrong. And it's not going to work. It's not going to be acceptable. So he tells us, he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Not only physically, I want you to do it spiritually. I want you to loose the bands of wickedness spiritually from the people. Set the sinners free by showing them that a person can live righteously here on this planet and keep God's commandments and still go to work every day out there in the world. I want you to show them through your actions that you can be a righteous person here. Set them free from sin. Let them know that there's an alternative out there. To undo the heavy burdens. Help them with the problems they're facing. Pray with them over their families. Pray with them over their job. They have a problem at work. You know, they come to you for help. Help them, and yet pray for them that God will help them in their work. Pray for them on the street when you meet them at Quick Trip. To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Feed them his word. Feed the hungry his word through your actions, through your prayers. Give them your faith. Bring them into the house. This house. Give them a desire to become a child of Christ, that they'll take upon them the name of Christ by going down into the waters of baptism. Do this for them. Bring them into the house. Excuse me. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Give them what God has given us. Clothe them in righteousness. Let them see. You don't have to run around ashamed because of your sin. That you're naked in front of the world because they see your sin. You don't have to run around like that anymore. You can repent of your sins and God will take it away. And you can be clothed in righteousness. And you don't have to be ashamed anymore. It's going to be okay. God loves you. And he wants you to step out of your sin. Show them that by doing that. Put on the robes of righteousness 24/7, not just here 3 or 4 times a week. You know, Sunday morning, study class, Sunday night, prayer meeting, back here on Sunday. Don't just go home after that and hang the robe up in the closet so it doesn't get, you know, filthy out there in the world. Do it 24/7. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. You do it this way. This is the fast. This is how I want you to be 24/7. You want me to answer your prayers and give you the answers to all the questions and guide the church like it's never been guided before? Then do this 24/7. Wear the robes of righteousness at all times. Not just your Easter clothes on Easter Day. That's the world. Put on the robes of righteousness 24/7 for Resurrection Day. That's what it's all about. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from thee from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Then the world will know about the Church of Christ. If we'll do that. And they'll be able to spot you a mile away. Because you can't hide that from people. And I'm not saying walk up and down the street and be preaching. You know, I don't want you to go and take your scriptures out there and stand on the corner and just read from it to the people. He wants us to go and do and be like the children of Christ are supposed to be to everybody that we meet and make them want to become like us. Nice people, caring people, people worthy to have the robes of righteousness on them. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. We will lay the foundations of gospel for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and all of our neighbors if we'll do this. We'll have a foundation ready for them to come and build their house on. Because we're Christian. And we're good Christians. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You will become a son of Abraham, friend of God. Turn to the second book of Nephi, chapter 6. Page 107, going to start at verse 31. Oh, how great the plan of our God. For on the other hand, the paradise of God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the grave deliver up the body of the righteous. And the spirit and the body is restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible and immortal. And they are living souls, having a perfect knowledge like unto us in the flesh. That's what Christ did on Resurrection Day. That's what he did for us, that we might be able to do that. That we might be immortal and live for eternity with him. If we're righteous. Save it be that our knowledge shall be perfect. Wherefore we shall have a perfect knowledge of all our guilt and our uncleanness and our nakedness. Zacchaeus knew what they thought of him. He knew where he was in their eyes, and yet he did the best that he could with what he was given. And he treated everybody fair. He did a good job. And even though they despised him, he still did a good job for them. He was the top tax collector in all of Israel. And the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment, and their righteousness being clothed with purity, yea, even with the robe of righteousness, the robe that Christ put on, pure, spotless, luminescent, shimmering light breaking forth from you, the light of Christ. So beautiful and bright that everyone sees it 24/7. And it shall come to pass that when all men shall have passed from this first death unto life, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel. It's going to happen to us, whether we're righteous or not. And then cometh the judgment, and then must they be judged according to the holy judgment of God. And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God has spoken it, and it is his eternal word which cannot pass away, that they which are righteous shall be righteous still, and they which are filthy shall be filthy still. Wherefore they which are filthy are the devil and his angels. And they shall go away into everlasting fire, prepared for them, and their torment is as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever, and hath no end. O, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, Zacchaeus endured, and Christ ate with him. They shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. We can have that joy. Christ wants to have dinner with us. Verse 79. O then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. 24:7. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. As I said at the beginning, we've all been invited to dinner. This is a song that we like to sing at my mother-in-law's house. It's called Come and Dine. It says, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. Ye may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Ye may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. We have been invited to dinner. Turn to Revelation. Chapter 19. Verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Zacchaeus. Small and great. Doesn't matter how physically tall you are or short you are, you can still be you and be great and become a saint by putting on the robes of righteousness. And when we do, after we've stood in front of that judgment bar, we're invited to dinner. 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Come and dine.